Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in North Bushy. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. Much better than this, however, is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Yo, guys. Max dared me to say that, and in return he has to make notes on what I say. So I win. Last week we were talking about spending time with God and hearing his voice. And so the first thing and the most important thing is today's talk is definitely part two. And so if you weren't around, please head to the Wellspring website and like Google their sermons and just find... I'm advertising myself, but it's definitely part two, and it all goes in one big context. Today, prayer again, but a different angle. The other side of the coin, perhaps, and this is something I've never personally heard spoken on in church. When we open up our ears to God, to the spiritual world, God's not the only voice out there. There's the other guy who talks too. More explicitly, the devil. And so today we're thinking about prayer as warfare. And even more specifically than that, why and how we suffer from spiritual attack as Christians. And how we fight back. The Bible verses that have inspired today's talk are found in Luke 4. And it's been mentioned over and over again in the Church of England at the moment. It's a Lent scripture. And it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, that in that passage, there's three specific temptations that the devil speaks to Jesus. But I never realized till I read it this time that Jesus was tempted every day for 40 days. We just hear about three of them. It wasn't just like, oh, some sand, walking around for 10 days, then a temptation, and then, oh, more sand and more walking. And then it was every day. And probably more often than that. And so today we're going to look a little bit about what the devil's like, how he might attack us, and what we can do to help ourselves win that fight. First things first, though, why would I talk about this? I said to the guys when they came to pray this morning, feels risky. And I just feel really called to talk on it because since maybe October last year, I've been on a difficult road in my life, wrestling with my own mental health, anxiety, and spiritual attack that has, to be honest, left me exhausted. And I won't go into the details of that here, but it's been really hard. Many, many tears have been shed. Lots of anxious days and a lot of holding on to God for dear life. But now it feels like there's been a change of season and I'm walking. It's not all sorted. I'll never be all sorted. But I feel like I'm walking on the road out of that valley. And I've learned a great deal about how my enemy, the devil, wants to get into my mind and ruin my life. But more importantly, I've learned a lot about who God is. And that's one I want to share some of that today. Now, I will be saying some abrupt things, because I don't really want to dance around the edge. But the context for everything I say from this point on is that Jesus Christ has defeated death and sin. I mean, I could end there. Woo! Early lunch. The devil cannot win us if we belong to Christ. So this isn't a fear-mongering sermon. Really, it's a talk about what people are scared to talk about, so we're not scared to talk about it. I've been reading Harry Potter since October. I started reading it when I was having a rough time, and I'm now on The Order of the Phoenix. It's amazing. I feel like the church treats the devil like Voldemort, and we don't like to talk about him. But because we don't talk about him, he has more power. When actually, we just need to be a bit like Harry and be like, it's just his name. And be free to talk about it. So we're going for it today. Well, I am. I hope you join me. So yeah, every believer, if invited the Holy Spirit in, the devil can't get us. He can't. We're sealed for Jesus. In a fight, the devil is a weak, frail man with his hands and legs bound, and the Holy Spirit is Muhammad Ali. It's not a fair fight, and we're on the winning side. So any believer is free from possession. There's horrible movies out there, and they're more and more popular every year. I hate them. But we are not at risk of possession. That's just impossible for someone filled with the Holy Spirit. That said, we can definitely be oppressed. We can get oppressed, suffer from attacks. But please remember that. We can't be taken over, but we can be oppressed by our enemy. So, the most important thing I've learned in the last few months is this. The devil hates me. And he hates you too. What an uplifting sermon. John 10:10 says that the devil is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal from us. He wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. When I realized that the devil hates me, it actually set me free because it made sense. I was like, oh yeah, I am on Jesus's side, so his enemies might, okay, that's why I have this happen or that happen. It's actually owning that and being like, all right, I hate you too. It's incredibly freeing. So why? Why does the enemy attack believers? We're just normal people trying to live life, be good to people and get on with things, right? He hates us because he's terrified of us. He's terrified of our potential. He's terrified of, if I fully understand what Jesus did on the cross, if I fully understand and accept who I am and accept the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he's terrified what I can do for North Bushy. And it's the same for each of us. Now, this is an optional anecdote. Has everyone seen Captain Marvel yet? People don't want it spoiled. Okay, I'll leave that one. There's a reference in there. Go find it. But in short, yeah, the devil, he wants us to shut us down before we even know what power we have. So that's why. Hope that's very clear and honest. How? How does the devil attack us? There's a few ways, but they're all different flavors of the same thing. They're all different types of lies. Jesus talks about the devil in John 8, verse 44, and says, "The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." It's all he can do. It's all he can do. Whisper lies at us. When Jesus was in the desert being tempted, there were three things the devil whispered to him. And they're the three things that were specifically written down in the Bible for us. And the first is this. The devil said to him, this is in the context of Jesus being starving from fasting. "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." It's a really short sentence, but there are actually three different temptations in that. The most obvious is to give up on what he believed in, give up on fasting, and satisfy his own desires. The devil will tempt us to give up on what we believe in, to lose hope, and to give in to our appetites. Now, I think this is where I don't need to do a sermon on that, because I think we're all horrendously aware of our own temptations. Whether it's food, shopping, gossip, anger, sexual temptation, I think we're all horrendously aware and probably feel guilty about that. So I'm not going to labour that point. But we are tempted in that way, and we need to be aware of that. The devil will tempt us to forget what is right and go our own way. And I don't know about you, but I have learned that my way is not the best way. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. The second temptation, perhaps it's harder to see, but there's a temptation, the devil's tempting Jesus to get all proud and use his power for his own gain. The devil will tempt us with selfishness and pride. It's who he wants us to be. But the third, and the one I want to spend more time on, is if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. It's a temptation to doubt his sonship. If you are the Son of God. Not you are the Son of God, so do it. But if you are, it's that voice of doubt in his mind that, oh, what if I'm not? The devil will tempt us to question our identity in Christ. And I think he does it all the time. Whispering in our minds, God doesn't really love you. God doesn't speak to you. You're not prophetic. You're not a good worship leader. You're not a good preacher. You're not really accepted. All lies. But why? Why would he do that to us? Because if our enemy can get us to believe that we are worthless and that God isn't kind, he wins. If our enemy can get us to believe that we are worthless and that God isn't kind, he's won. We simply have to be aware of this, and if you take one thing away, Max, if you write anything down, be aware that the devil wants you to believe that you are worthless and God isn't kind. Because that is a killing combination. That kills faith. That kills the gifts of the Spirit. It kills the desire to go to church. And ultimately, it kills the desire to live life. The devil will get you to give up on God if he can. He even tempted Jesus in this way. The second temptation Jesus faced in the wilderness was about his identity again. It asked Jesus, where are you going to get your identity from, God or power? Luke 4, verse 6 says, the devil said to Jesus, I will give you all their authority and glory. He takes Jesus to a high place and shows all the kingdoms of the world, and he tempts Jesus, I'll give it all to you. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you just worship me, the devil, it will all be yours. He's tempting Jesus to idolize, to worship things that aren't God, to give his time, give his energy, give his position, give his love to things that are not of God. And this is where it's part two of last week, because downtime with Jesus is the way we get our identity in Christ. We've got to make sure we're making time for that, because otherwise we'll be so easily tempted to worship things that we cannot sustain or satisfy. And again, this is where downtime with Jesus comes in, because we've got to learn to discern the difference between the voice of God and the temptation of the devil. And this is where we need to learn about the character of God. And as a quick aside, in our lives, God's way is long-term, big picture, will hurt, but ultimately brings long-term freedom. That's just how God does stuff. The devil, short and quick satisfaction, long-term slavery. And I think the world thinks that God's always lovely, so we should always all be fine. But actually, this last few months has been horrendous. But God's been with me every day, and now I've learned so much without even realizing it. God's way is long-term, big picture, short-term pain, long-term freedom. The enemy, short-term, quick satisfaction, long-term slavery. We need to know that. If Jesus, in this temptation to get power on earth, had given in to the devil, he would have forsaken the big picture. He would have been like, well, it doesn't really matter about redeeming all mankind. Let's go be a king of Babylon, or a king of Israel, or like a worldly king. He would have traded in being the king of kings to be a king, if he'd given in to that temptation. I think we get tempted in this way all the time as well. In fact, it's one of the ways the enemy tempts us out of spending downtime with Jesus. He'll whisper, it's not important. Or there's no time. And I'm hoping I'm painting a picture of how he's trying to get us from all sides. Firstly, he'll try and get us to think that God's horrible and mean, so we don't want to spend time with him. But if we push through that, and we're like, yeah, God's great and God's kind, he'll be like, there's no time. No time. Go do all that stuff you've got to do. He's desperate to keep us apart from Jesus. He's a sneaky one. I have written in my notes. But once we are aware, Jesus is far more powerful. The devil's power is in our lack of awareness. Because we just trot along and let things happen to us. Once we're aware, we can invite Jesus in. The other main difference that's important to know about the voice of God and the whispers of the enemy is about when we do something wrong, when we sin, when we mess up. It's conviction of God versus condemnation of the enemy. When we sin, when we do something we shouldn't have done, God will tell us that we did something we shouldn't have done, because he's a good father. I remember having to shout at my nephew because he was about to run into the road. And I didn't shout at him because I hated him. I shouted at him because I didn't want him to die. Conviction of God when we've done something wrong is very specific, and it focuses on what we did. Joe, you shouldn't have done that. That wasn't good. It wasn't good for you. It wasn't good for them. Condemnation, really vague. General sense that I'm a bad person. General sense that I'm unworthy. General sense of I shouldn't enjoy my life. And it attacks who we are, not what we did. That's the difference. Conviction versus condemnation. Conviction enables us to repent and be set free. So I explained to my nephew, mate, don't do that. I love you. Don't want you to die. So I got down to his level, made sure he knew that I wasn't judging him as a person, but was saying that was bad. Condemnation will just pour shame into our minds with no specific reason. Convictions from God, condemnations of the devil. Be careful what voice you listen to when you know you've done something wrong. The enemy doesn't stand a chance once we understand what he's up to. So, that's enough talking about him. How can we fight back? What can we do? And I go on about this all the time, but the main thing is self-awareness. We've got to be honest with ourselves and our close friends about where our weaknesses are. What areas am I likely to be tempted in? We need to know our own minds so we know when the voice in it isn't ours. We need to know what a foreign voice sounds like. And a practical hint on that is the enemy will use "you are" statements in your mind, whereas our brains go "I am." So if you're walking around going "you are a horrible person," it's not you, okay? He tries to trick us into believing it's our own minds. And what he's really clever at is going "you are a horrible person" and then leaving. And I go, "I am a horrible person, I am a horrible person." And I spiral down all day on my own. He just lets that seed grow and we put the water on if we're not aware of what's going on inside our minds. Knowing yourself as part of self-awareness, knowing your signs. Many emotions are both natural and supernatural. I'm not saying that if you have anxiety or depression, you are attacked by the devil all the time. I'm not saying that mental health problems, mental health concerns are purely the devil. Please don't take that away. I have anxiety. I have been depressed in the last few months. I'm not possessed, and I'm not a bad person for that. But the devil sure likes to use those things. He likes to get in. He likes to make them worse. So for me, I know I can get anxious for reasons, and I know that I can feel down for reasons, but I know that I am never hopeless unless the devil's having a go. It's not in me to not have hope. That's just who I am. I'm a hopeful person. But, and I've talked to Beth about it. It's like, if I ever seem without hope, we need to pray. We've got to know ourselves, know our boundaries of, wait, this isn't me. And a helpful acronym is HALT, as in stop, H-A-L-T. We are more likely to be vulnerable when we are hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Hello. 1, 2. Yeah? Will this be carried on the recording? Awesome. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I mean, that's just... Until I was told it, I was like, oh yeah, it's genius. But oh, it's really obvious, isn't it? And rich. Hangry. Yes, hangry's a thing, Alfie. Okay, but yeah, so that's the kind of the climate that the enemy likes to work in. Some things we can do, apart from knowing ourselves, pray out loud. Our minds are a playground for what the enemy wants to do. Third microphone, here we go. He wants us to get shut up in our own minds. He wants us to get trapped in our thoughts, so he can just whisper, "You're a bad person," and then I say it to myself for the rest of the day. There's a lot in scripture about the power of words, and we have permission to use them. Praying out loud. And get angry if you need to. This is what I've realized in the last few months. A lie I believed my whole life was all anger's bad. And God's been teaching me the difference between anger and rage. Rage is unguided and all over the place and hurts other people. Anger is directed. It's got a purpose. And I understand what the enemy was trying to get at me about anger, because now I've understood that I can be angry when I pray. But you don't want to be around when I pray when I'm angry. It's a bit of a mess. But it's powerful. And it is a war cry. I have a sword, literally a sword from Lord of the Rings. I wave around if I get really angry. If I know one of my friends is having a bad day, it's time, you know, you get the sword. And me and Beth were talking about getting a punching bag so I can punch pray when we go to the vicar school. Because it's not a bad emotion and it breaks down walls, and God's angry. God's angry for my friends who are permanently sick. God's angry for my friends who are bound by anxiety. He hates that. And so use it if you need to. It's been really freeing to just be like, rage mode, and then leave it with Jesus. Praying out loud. Next one, community. The devil will attack us when we're on our own. Jesus went from the desert alone, all this temptation. The first thing he did was go and pick his boys. He got his disciples. He was like, let's do life. And he wasn't really alone again unless he chose to be. When we are surrounded by family and those who love us and those who are praying for us, there's so many positive voices and voices that belong to people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, the devil's pushed out. And the main thing that got me in this dark valley was I went from being a part of a massive staff team here to being on my own. I took a picture down off that board of 9 people because I was the last one. And the devil was like, right, you've been doing great stuff for Bushy for 3 years. Now you're on your own. I'm going to have a go. So make a change. Don't feel weak for like being like, I'm going to go sit in a cafe instead of be on my own. I think I've been in Joe's cafe down the road for like 12 hours this week because I go there to do my admin and have my meetings rather than sit in here on my own. Make a change. You can do it. It's not, no one's going to judge you. Just do it. Next one, identity. Again, one more time just to get it into our minds. Downtime with Jesus. Remember what God's like, because the devil wants to question our identity as sons and daughters of God. If we remember we're a son or a daughter of God every day, we won't listen to his lies. Next thing we can do, know your Bible. We need to know what Scripture says, and we need to know it accurately. Because the devil knows the Bible. Realized this in the last couple of weeks. He knows it really well, and he also knows how to manipulate it to make us feel rubbish about ourselves. The third temptation Jesus faced in the desert was the devil used the Bible against him. It was only because Jesus knew the word, because he is the word. They went, nope, incorrect. We need to be able to respond with biblical truth when the enemy lies to us. Other than Harry Potter, the main thing that's got me through these last few months is Psalms. Speaking out loud that God is my fortress, it changes things. Next, hold on to the promises of God. If someone's had a word for you, if someone's had a prophecy for you, write it down and don't hide it away. Remember what God has promised you, even if it was like 30 years ago. Remember what God has said. Because we get in trouble when we forget what God has said and what God is like. I'm aware there's been a lot said, but I've learned a lot, so I want to pass it on if I can. And as we come to an end, the last thing, and this is the really, really practical one that people get uncomfortable with, tell the enemy where to go. If you are feeling oppressed or condemned and that the devil's having a go at you, and he will because he hates us, because we're full of the Holy Spirit and we can change people's lives just by being, I think God said this, and it being right, and someone becomes a Christian on the street, the enemy wants to stop us having that in us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And this is important. It's not me, and it's not you. It's Jesus. Okay? I couldn't preach this without Jesus. Jeez, that's a bad call. Jesus is, you know, it's by his power that I'm saying these words, and it's by his power and the Holy Spirit that's given us authority to tell the enemy where to go. It might be heresy, but I told one of my young people who's struggling with mental health to swear at the devil if they needed to. Just go for it. Just tell him. Get angry. Tell him where to go. In Jesus' name, go for it. Pray him away in the name of Jesus. And as example, this is the kind of thing I'll say. Enemy, you're not allowed to have me. You're not allowed to have a go at me. You're a liar, you're a coward, and by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ that sets me free, be gone in Jesus' name. You cannot stand for, I belong to Jesus. You can just say it. It doesn't even have to be that long. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Because he's around, and he lurks at the door like a prowling tiger. Tiger? Lion. Misquote in the Bible. Like a prowling lion who wants to have a go. And we just be able to just catch him. Tell him where to go. Because he has schemes against us, but we can have our tactics too. And the more we're aware, the more predictable he becomes. We start to learn what he's like. It takes the fear out of it. And we start saying Voldemort instead of he who should not be named. And he becomes more of an annoyance than something to fear. There was a lot of information there. I hope it was helpful. I'm just going to pray to close. And I'll hand back to Dan. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we have the Holy Spirit in us. That we are protected from all sides. And that the enemy doesn't stand a chance against you. Lord, I pray that today has been helpful. And I pray that we would hear your voice in the week, making us aware when the devil's just trying to have a go. Just getting in. Just trying to undermine you. Make us aware, and may we put things in place in our lives that we would be protected and aware of all that the enemy schemes against us and against your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. And we praise you and glorify you, for you are the victor, and we are on the winning team. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.